Hi to all the Heart Dwellers and listeners. This is Brother David, here to share my testimony about a difficult time in my life and how the Lord Jesus pulled me out of a trap that eventually led me to Him. It was toward the end of my 20s that I realized that this life was going to be much more difficult than I had imagined. Anxiety and depression had begun to manifest in serious ways. By the time I was 30, I was living in a permanent state of agonizing pain, mental anguish, and dark nights of the soul. I had decided to leave San Diego and move to Charlotte at that time, which happened to be during the economic downswing of 2008-2009. I had just acquired a master's in accounting and was studying to pass the CPA exam so I could begin a career in financial audit. I was job searching in a sector that was undergoing massive layoffs, and I found myself in a dead-end situation. I guess during those days when I was totally aimless, without purpose, and running off fumes in my self-esteem tank, I realized I needed a serious life change. And I can't explain the switch well that I started to make, but I do remember once when I was driving, I paused at the Christian channel. I remarked to my sister how it was weird that the best music seemed to be coming from Christian artists. I thought they were a little bonkers for being so enthusiastic about their religion, but I couldn't deny that something was contagious about it. Christmas 2009 came around, and for the first time in my life, I had the luxury of a television in my bedroom. And just like the Christian music, I found myself stopping at the Christian television channels. Dr. Charles Stanley in particular really caught my attention. He had an authority that was sincere. I began to wonder if Christianity could fix me. I began also to stop in at a local church with an unlocked back door, so that I could sneak into the quiet refuge of an empty church sanctuary. I would just sit there in the silence. It was very comforting. I didn't read the Bible or open a hymnal, but I would often stare at the stained glass windows and knew I was experiencing some undercurrent of peace. One night, in the early morning, I woke up with an incredible sadness and a strong emotion, and for some reason I decided to get down on the floor on my knees and pray to God. "If you're real, I desperately need your help. Please, are you real, God?" And so much sadness came up out of me, and I cried for the longest time there on the floor, until I was an empty void. I didn't hear from God, but my spiritual seeking had earnestly begun. Soon after this, I passed the fourth and final CPA exam. Then the temporary high of having accomplished this soon subsided, and I remained stuck in a tough economy. By the advice of my dad, who had made his career in financial audit, I applied to a firm in France, since I'd already spent a few years there going to school and working, and I could sell my resume as a bilingual auditor. To my surprise, I was offered an interview. Long story short, I was offered a job, and I found myself moving back to France for a third time in June of 2010. However, this time I really didn't want to go back, but after a year of unemployment, I really didn't have the choice. Unfortunately, at the year-end review of this job in 2011, both the employer and I came to a quick conclusion that it wasn't working out. I had chewed off too much in my ambition to risk such a job move, and inwardly I was falling down into a dark abyss of misery. But honestly, I was so relieved that I didn't have to go back to that job. I've taken a lot of time to paint the picture of my state in life because I hope to give a clearer picture of what happened to me in the aftermath, how it went from worse to worst. I ended up taking a job at a Japanese restaurant in Paris. What? An American with a master's degree in accounting working at a sushi restaurant for a Japanese chef in Paris? Did I lose my mind, you ask? Well, maybe, but I knew I was done with office jobs. In the time leading up to this career change, I had begun to pursue the practice of meditation in the hopes that I could fix my anxiety. I had been spending many evenings in meditation and found the still darkness to be a welcome escape. Strange things happened in that place, and it was quite amazing to see hours pass by in a flash while I was in a comatic state. It was during one evening on a business trip in Paris while I was still with the firm that I stumbled across a Japanese restaurant in question. It was actually right across the street from my hotel, and I was a huge fan of Japanese food. I was the first in the door at 7 p.m. when it opened. To my surprise, the greeter was actually the chef. When he later brought me an appetizer, we had a chance to talk, and somehow it was shared that we both appreciated meditation. The conversation was nice and the food was amazing, so each time I was in Paris, I returned to dine there. One evening, I was sitting at his chef's table to chat while he cooked, and when a big group came in, he thrust a few menus into my hands and asked me to wait on the guests. And so when I lost my job at the firm, and he offered me one instead, I began a job as his apprentice and waiter. So, usually as I worked there, it was just the two of us as a team to serve an average of 15 to 20 guests in this small restaurant. We would often stay late after the restaurant closed to have a bite to eat and wind down. The co-owner would often stop by. The conversations would always turn to spiritual matters. Not having gone to church as an adult, I didn't know what spirituality was meant to look like. The sermons of Dr. Stanley were a long-gone memory. The co-owner, who I will call Paul, asked me right away the date of my birth. And from that, he calculated that I had a life path of 39. Therefore, I was called to be an artist. Paul would sometimes ask the chef what aura he thought so-and-so had, and the chef would reply, white, green, gold, etc. I was told my aura was really white, and that my life path was a special one. He was impressed by my French-speaking skills, and explained that I had ended up in a very spiritual place, that this wasn't just a restaurant. This was a place for the 12 to meet, he said. What's that, I asked. A group of 12 individuals who would be guided by God to end up at this restaurant, and who would work together to usher in the new millennium. We were chosen souls, very special, and I, in fact, was the reincarnation of a soul who had previously fulfilled a similar mission. We were, as he told me, the reincarnated apostles, and I was John. Jesus had chosen us, and I had made it to headquarters. The chef was elated. As you process this part of the story, know that I didn't even know what an apostle was or the millennium. What I did know, that I was suddenly somebody very special, and I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Things did seem to make sense. Why was I seeing 11 and 11 on the clock all the time? What was the point of all the weird coincidences happening in my life? I thought maybe this was the answer. The Japanese chef had other far art stories. He claimed to have been invited by an angelic being up into a spaceship when he was a young child, and they were lifted up into the sky where he was shown the future, an apocalyptic scene of the world being hit by 3 nuclear bombs going off at the same time. His favorite story was that of being fetched by a horse that belonged to God, whose name was Pegasus, who would whisk him away into a stellar ecstasy. He claimed to have even seen me in a vision and knew that one day we would meet. But as my imagination was being fed, I was enduring the reality of a work environment that was traumatic, to say the least. The co-owner, Paul, had a temper-fueled opinion that would put everybody in a terrified straitjacket. I was suffering from paralysis, and not knowing up from down anymore, I stayed. I was too ashamed to go back home to the States, and compelled enough to stay because I thought that God wanted me there. I worked there through a couple years of mental, emotional, and psychological abuse. I submitted to the knowledge and opinions of others like it was God's doctrine. The most confusing aspect of this New Age spirituality that I was drowning in was the talk of Christ consciousness. We spoke of Jesus through this jargon. Not the Jesus who is truly God and who became man so that he could die on the cross to redeem us, but a Christ who was an ascended master. I fell for a counterfeit Jesus because in my pride I thought I could work my way to God, ascend to the heights of some spiritual mountain, get to God intellectually or with secret spiritual tricks and powers. All of this turned spiritual seekers into competitors with each other. We totally missed out on the fact that when Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit descended. Instead, we took Holy Spirit out of the picture and tried to do the spiritual stuff on our own so that we could show off. I think that this is the crux of my testimony concerning the New Age deception. That same person who thought that he could become someone in this world through master's degrees and impressive office jobs is the same person who boasted of spiritual things based on how much I knew, or how special I was, or how exclusive my spiritual walk was compared to others. The focus was absolutely not on Jesus, but solely on me. I think that I found some redemption from getting fired and becoming a real burnout in life by letting this reincarnation myth nurse my sorely wounded ego. In the most bizarre turn of events in all of this mirage, because I thought that I was the reincarnation of St. John the Apostle, I started to read the Bible because I was interested in finding out more who I was in my past life. So when a friend also caught up in this group of people at the restaurant, handed me the gospel as depicted by Maria Valtorta, I learned who Jesus actually was, and the story of his death and resurrection finally entered into my understanding of God. But there was still so much missing. The seeking within me did not go away. It wasn't until I began watching near-death experience testimonies on the internet that something really came alive in me. I was absolutely awestruck when people would describe their accounts of meeting Jesus in heaven. My heart was so moved by hearing the NDE survivors describe how wonderful it was to meet Jesus. For the first time, I consciously acknowledged that Jesus was not only God, but he was also a person I could interact with and meet, and that in meeting him, all the desires of my heart would be met. Deep down, you could say that I bore witness to the truth, and this is the truth that carries its own anointing. I knew that I knew that I knew I had found what I was looking for, and I no longer wanted any special spiritual knowledge. I just wanted to be with Jesus. And I would eventually get down on my knees and cry out to Jesus to come rescue me, to be my savior, and he answered that prayer by leading me to the Heart Dwellers channel. The very next day, he answered that prayer. And on this channel, I learned how I could be with him, not in heaven like in the NDE stories, but here on earth. Looking back, I'm thankful that I wasn't aware of how dangerous those times actually were to me. I can recall those memories from the safety of Jesus' protective care for me. I can even find myself in the stories of the gospel, not in the life of St. John the Apostle, but actually in the Gospel of Luke, where there is a parable that says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Jesus seems to be saying in this parable that there is an urgency for him to find that lost sheep. He knows how dangerous it is for a creature to be lost and alone, wandering outside of the fold. I myself can definitely testify to the eagerness of our Lord Jesus to search and rescue the one lone sheep. And the sheep in this story might not be a backslidden Christian who knows Jesus already and is finding his way back to God after difficult circumstances. I believe that that sheep is anyone seeking the truth, someone who is following along a path that is dark and confusing. In my personal experience, the time between setting out as a spiritual seeker and until the time I found Jesus were absolutely the most dangerous and confusing times of my life. I was definitely the 100th sheep. And it was that personal encounter with Jesus that brought me to safety. If you would like to learn more about how Jesus rescued me and the aftermath of my salvation moment, I suggest listening to my conversion story, which is titled, "How the Lord Made a Priest Out of Me." And I do pray that everyone in this world be blessed with the hunger to know the truth, and that God will guide them to meet the truth, who is Jesus. He is the light of the world. God bless you all heart dwellers and all listeners, and Godspeed to you. Amen.